Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
It's the Round Ball Rock Podcast. Starring Dave Schilling, Vern Fleming, Freddie Lewis, Joey Devine, Dudley Bradley, Darnell Hillman, Sean Keane, Richardson, Haywood Workman, Patreons, Isaac Cohen, thank you Isaac, Marky Mark Langford, stay funky Mark, Alex Toledo, holy Toledo we're thankful, musical guest, the Four Freshmen, there aren't a lot of bands out of Indianapolis. And now, the temporary host of Round Ball Rock, Joey Devine.
Hi, it's me, Joey Devine, your temporary host of the Round Ball Rock podcast, and we are back with a brand new episode. It's just me and Sean today, so let's skip the intro. Here's America's Uncle Dad, my co-host, your best friend, Sean Keane. Sean, how are you?
I'm good, doing well.
Yeah.
Spent some time in beautiful Santa Maria, California. Technically, I was in Orca, California.
So you lived in a tri-tip. That was fun.
I lived in a tri-tip, and it was I had salsa poured in my face every day. You know what? You know what kind of sucked, Joey?
What?
So this is a little town in kind of like Central California, you would say. Is that how you describe that area between San Luis Obispo and Santa Barbara?
I think that's Southern California, actually.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what you really call the area. It's sideways country. That's where it is. But there were a bunch of like really delicious, like small businesses. There was a little brewery and there was a really good sandwich shop, which did have tri-tip sandwiches. And unfortunately, the woman who owned these promising businesses funded them by embezzling money from old people. So those places are all closed. So
That's what we like to call the win-win here on Round Ball Rock. For those of you that have seen that movie.
That's very similar. Yeah. So I will be coaching wrestling in order to finance the return of the Homestead sandwich shop.
Oh, great.
I will not be doing that. Also, it's a town called Orchid, which is, if you remember, it was a Google-sponsored alternative to Facebook, which only caught on in Brazil and Ireland.
I did not know that, but great stuff, Sean. You're
yeah,
always you've always got good info. Speaking of info, Sean, oh, you know what we're gonna do today?
What's that?
Just talk about a bunch of news we haven't talked about in a long time.
It actually kind of feels like we haven't necessarily been talking about anything that's been happening in basketball. Like,
no.
It's great. Look, everybody can catch up with us.
All right.
America's most knowledgeable basketball fans.
So let's go to the news drop.
This is Round Ball Rock News. Basketball news for humans and robots. Trust the process.
Sean, our top story is, how would I describe this man? Mark, enemy of the podcast, Mark Cuban, is basically selling his entire chunk of the Mavericks while claiming he's not.
Yes.
That's what's happening.
let's just say it is, it's a dirty deal, whatever it is. I will say for Patreon subscribers, I have, against my will, basically reviewed two episodes of Smartless. Actually, with my will, no one was making me do it.
Yeah, no one made you do
that. I've reviewed the Mark Cuban episode.
I believe when you said you were doing it to me, I was like, you don't have to do that.
Well, Joey, I do, because we're going to get our third Patreon Smartless review, because you know who was on the show recently, Joey?
Was it Shaquille O'Neal?
It was not. It was Steph Curry.
Oh, of course. God damn it.
It's going to be a lame fest. I still haven't listened to it.
Sean, speaking of Steph Curry.
Yes.
I should say, for those listeners that don't know, I have another podcast on the side that I've been producing. It's called Unsalvageable, a Utah jazz podcast hosted by our friend Sarah Todd and our friend Dad Sham Dad, Greg Foster.
Both great guys.
For those of you that don't know, Sarah covered the Warriors up until 2015. And she revealed an insane Steph Curry fact on this week's episode of Unsalvageable that I want to tell you right now, Sean.
Yes, please.
Steph Curry used to have a post-it note in his locker room, in his locker, that just said, make eye contact, be nice to reporters, be humble.
Oh my God. That's adorable, but also like...
But also something a sociopath does.
Yeah. I mean, make eye contact is like for like the hardest man or the softest man. You know what I mean? Like there's not a lot of like in between where you need to be nice to God. Well,
it's
Joey,
psychotic. That is a psychotic thing to have to remind yourself.
Yeah, I actually have a post-it that I look at that's actually on the side of my laptop that I look at every podcast.
Well, what's
it says? It says, get money, get money, get money. That's what I think
Speaking
of every time.
Speaking of, patreon.com/roundrockpod is where you can listen to Sean's recaps of other podcasts.
Yes. So there's a Steph Curry Smartless coming. I finally named us doing sports movie reviews. We did American Underdog, which is truly like if you had the budget of a high school play, but Anna Paquin and Zachary Levi. Did you say Levi or Levi? It's Levi, right?
I don't care. He's Levi. A freak.
Whatever. Anyway, that was good. Anyway, we named it. It's called Lights, Camera, Round Ball. And there's going to be some more of those. And for you fans of our Jack Reacher podcast, Fist Like Thanksgiving Turkeys, December 15th on Amazon. Yeah. So
this time we're going to watch it every week and do an episode. I promise.
Yeah, we kind of caught up at the coming out every. They're coming out every week, right? They're not releasing them all at once.
That I'm not sure, but we're going to do it weekly.
I think that's the new Amazon strategy, is to make them more like regular shows. But yeah. I'm not sure. We'll see. We'll see. But everybody's excited about that.
Anyway, anything to talk? Not talk about the Adelsons and Mark Cuban.
Okay, here's how I understand what's happening, Joey. With my understanding. So Sheldon Adelson, much like Henry Kissinger, was struck down by God.
Listeners who don't know Sheldon Adelson is?
Yes. Okay, so Mark Cuban is selling it to Miriam Adelson, who is Sheldon Adelson's wife. He is mostly a casino magnate. He owns the Sands and everything Sands affiliated. He built the Venetian Hotel. He has a lot of foreign casinos, specifically one in Macau, where he basically just like relentlessly bribed Chinese officials to let him make that and got some massive fine. He just loves casinos. He loves building casinos, but to take money from people. Many, many fines for this activity. He basically supported Mitt Romney in an attempt to essentially destabilize the Chinese currency because it would make him more money off his casinos in Macau, which is why Mitt Romney got very, very large campaign donations. I'm getting ahead of myself. He also bought the Las Vegas Review Journal, essentially to keep people from reporting about his shady casino activities. He owns a bunch of newspapers in Israel. He was the biggest donor to both of Donald Trump's presidential campaigns and his legal defense of the Robert Mueller report. He's basically spitting in the face of the Krasensteins. He also gave lots of money to Benjamin Netanyahu, the most war-hawky Israeli prime minister. His big causes, he hates online gambling because that hurts his casinos. And he's spent like hundreds of millions of dollars opposing marijuana legalization because his son overdosed on cocaine. And he thinks marijuana was responsible for that. He basically became a giant Republican donor. I think he's like the biggest Republican donor. I think he passed the Koch brothers, specifically because he didn't like it when casino workers unionized. He spent over $100 million in 2012 on Republican candidates who all lost. Mostly that money went to Newt Gingrich, who he liked because Newt Gingrich once said that Palestinians aren't real. He also spent spent over $100 million on the midterms in 2018. Like the most right wing guy and just like the source of dark money. He once said that he was trying to fight. He said he didn't think it was fair that rich people like George Soros affected politics. So he was going to spend even more money. The real reason this is happening, apparently, he sold a majority share of the Mavs at a valuation of $3.5 billion, which is sort of low.
Yeah,
I guess by why things are sold. But it might be that their arena is not as new as the other things. And it might be that, I mean, essentially, I think it means that Mark Cuban is a little bit cash poor. Probably. He has said before that of all the things he's invested in for Shark Tank, he's like down a bunch of money.
He's down like $200 million or something.
And most of his stuff has not really made money. Like what about Ice Rocket, that search engine that we all use?
What about Cyberdust?
Cyberdust, which deletes your tweets for you. That doesn't seem like it took off. What was that called? Maverick TV? Mark Cuban got into film production, and the first two things they produced were Good Night and Good Luck and the Enron documentary. And I think both of those won Oscars, and then like nothing else they've made has been a success. So basically, Mark Cuban, the only thing he's been successful at is the Mavericks. And now he sold a big chunk of the Mavericks. But the idea is that he still gets to run basketball operations because the Adelson family just wants to build a casino in Dallas. That's why they're doing it. They want to build a casino complex that has a new arena. And ideally, they would make the taxpayers in Dallas pay for that. But Mark Cuban's going to get to run basketball operations because he's been doing such a good job of that for the last decade, attracting free agents like
Haralabob Balgaris.
Yeah, that's it. He got Haralabob in there. And Haralabob was like, well, I'd like to go to the Sands. And Mark Cuban's like, interesting. Is there like a creepy old man who's about to die? And Haralabob's like, yeah, he is. And he has a really old widow, too. Mm-hmm. And like, do you think he could trick him into spending a lot of money on a piece of my team? And Haralabob's like, yes. And also tell Luka Doncic I said he's fat. And he's like, I got to fire you, dude. You gotta leave.
Sean, I have other news for you that you you didn't put on our thing.
Oh, yeah.
Did you see Herb Simon's statement today? The owner of the Pacers. He's new also favorite very basketball old. Team.
I did not see shopping mall kingpin. Yeah, Herb Simon.
I'll read it to you.
Okay.
My good friend Stephen Rails, who's strong to Hoosier ties and is a graduate of DePauw University and co-founder of Danaher Corporation, which is the owner of Indiana-based life sciences company Beckman Coulter, expressed an interest in acquiring a minority investment in the franchise. After considerable discussion, Steven is going to become a minority owner of 20% of the franchise pending league approval. Management of the franchise remains under Simon family control. The Simon family is as committed to Indiana today as we have been since we moved here from New York in the 1960s. So the Pacers also sold 20% of...
Who did they sell it to?
Stephen Rails, which I'm glad you asked, Sean.
Hey, I wasn't sure who that was.
He is a rich guy whose dad owned an equity group that he left his father's real estate and bought a bunch of things using junk bonds, including vinyl siding manufacturers and the Mohawk Rubber Company. Then they bought ESCO, the largest independent aluminum extrusion manufacturer.
Are they owned by the most boring ownership group?
Hold on, we're going to get there. Gets good.
Okay.
Then in 1988, he made a hostile takeover bid for Interco, which has a bunch of manufacturers such as Converse and Ethan Allen Furniture.
Oh, okay.
But when the company responded with a poison pill, they sued and won in court and after five months, got $60 million for free in 1988.
Great.
Then in 1992, the AM side of this corporation was sold, of WGMS, was sold to the Rails brothers, who... created a sports talk station. He's worth $7.3 million as of July 2023. But most importantly, Sean, he founded the production company Indian Paintbrush, which you might know as the ones who produce all the Wes Anderson movies.
Wow.
Starting in 2007, their first, the list of films produced by Rails, Darjeeling Limited, Fantastic Mr. Fox, Like Crazy, Jeff Who Lives at Home, Young Adult, Moonrise Kingdom, Seeking a Friend for the End of the World.
I didn't care for that one, but, you know, that's
Not Fade
in
Away.
Patton Oswalt business,
yeah,
baby.
Yeah, exactly. Not Fade Away. Love Not Fade Away. Breathe In, Stoker, which if you haven't seen Stoker, that movie fucking rocks.
That movie's real good.
Trance, Labor Day, The Grand Budapest Hotel, Me and Earl and the Dying Girl, Isle of Dogs, The French Dispatch, Asteroid City, and The Wonderful Story of Henry Sugar. So I want you to know, Sean, at this point in this man's Wikipedia page, I was like, are we looking at the new least evil owner in the NBA?
I was going to say, like... Because even though he's doing hostile takeovers, it's like, I mean,
he's like still making over Converse.
They're still making vinyl.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, like exactly. Converse.
I mean, there are
Draymond
no good
Green
billionaires. But here's the problem: personal life. He was married to a lady from 83 to 2003. Then he married in 2012 a woman named Lalaj Demirel, who do you want to know who that is, Sean? That's the mother of writer. That's the mother of writer and former CIA officer Amilris Fox Kennedy, who you might know as the campaign manager to Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s presidential campaign.
Oh my God! Wow.
The former CIA officer who runs RFK Jr.'s presidential campaign.
That's wild. By the way, did you know the existing cinematic connections of the Indiana Pacers, Joey?
I did not know.
So Herb Simon's brother, Mel, R.I.P., mm-hmm. Had a production company called Melvin Simon Productions, which apparently lost millions and millions of dollars. But here are some movies they produced. Rabbit Test. Mm-hmm. That is a movie about the world's first pregnant man, directed and co-written by Joan Rivers and starring friend of the podcast, Billy Crystal.
Uh-huh, yeah. A jazz man.
Yeah. The movie, they produced the movie The Stuntman, Peter O'Toole. That's a good movie.
That remake looks awesome, too. Have you seen the trailer
I didn't realize it was a remake.
It's Ryan Gosling and the guy who made John Wick, dog. And they did it funny.
That's great.
Yeah, it's going to be
funny
great.
Gosling, man.
Yeah.
My Bodyguard, they made.
Love My Bodyguard.
What, do you love Zorro the Gay Blade?
I kind of do like Zorro the Gay Blade. It's funny.
I watched it. It was like my grandma had it on VHS, and I probably was too young to really understand any of what was happening, but it is entertaining. But the most famous films, he made one of the great trilogies of the 1980s, Joey. Porky's.
Oh,
Porky's
no.
2 the Next Day and Porky's Revenge. The exploitation of non-consensual looking at high school girls in showers. That's like what Porky's is about.
I would say Porky's, the release of Porky's directly leads to the writing of Bill Simmons. That's how we got there. Anyway, Sean, I'm sorry I cannot report when your daughter-in-law is the campaign manager to Robert F. Kennedy's presidential campaign and a former CIA officer. You cannot be the least evil owner in the NBA. So congratulations to Jeannie Buss continuing to take that title.
This movie is going straight to the You Know Ball podcast Patreon. Okay, so people are
But Sean, my question for you, actually.
Oh, yeah,
the
yeah,
reason
yeah,
I
yeah,
brought
sorry,
up the Herb
yeah, yeah.
Simon
oh,
part.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
Is the NBA's CBA runs out. I mean, the TV deal runs out in a year, right? Or is it 2 years?
Well, it runs out in a year and a half, but they'll be negotiating it this summer. Or they're negotiating it now.
Usually that would be like, hey, we're getting this huge windfall. Don't sell yet. Isn't it a bad sign that all these owners are selling right now for the future NBA TV deal?
Well, I would say that's related to... Yes. Yes, it is a bad sign. One of the... Also, that a lot of these people that are... Well, yeah, they're selling at the top. They're selling at the top, basically.
Yeah.
The Bucks co-owner cashed in. Michael Jordan, who you would think... would know a lot about the NBA, mm-hmm. also cashed out and like held on to a piece.
Now, the one thing I'll say is Mark Cuban has never made a good investment. So it actually might.
Yeah, that might be.
Yeah, it's actually these guys might be selling early.
Yeah, but Mark Cuban's going full Ozark right now. He's mm-hmm. getting in bed with some of the worst people in the world in order to build a casino in a backwater mm-hmm. named Great. Dallas, Texas. I've never been there. I don't know. Doesn't it feel like he might be like money laundering on the side? Like Mark Cuban could be laundering a lot of money with like, wouldn't Shark Tank be the perfect vehicle for that?
Except he quit Shark Tank.
Yeah, he quit Shark Tank.
What's he up to? What's he cooking?
So, I mean, I think it's just because he wants a casino, money. But, But so the speculation, either he's starting a podcast, which we might do. God, that would be obnoxious.
But he could start a podcast without doing these things. I don't understand why those would be combined.
I think he would get fined all the time on the podcast. He gets fined like every time he goes on TV.
And, but he's still the owner now. He'd get fined. Like,
No, he's like, not. He's not going to start a podcast.
He very specifically made this deal so he could remain this like figurehead. He's like the Queen of England for the Dallas Mavericks.
He's hedging on the TV deal, I think, so there's people who are speculating that he would run for president because he was vocally anti-Trump, and he met with the Joey. Do you know what the No Labels Party is?
Is that like
it's basically
do they publish Maximum Rock and Roll?
Yeah, you would think that it's like no, it's basically they want to run a third party unity candidate. Who are some of the people involved? I don't know who the guy who runs Lowe's, but that's because he's from a dynastic Tisch family.
Of course.
They want to run a ticket where the president's a Democrat and the vice president's a Republican, or vice versa, I guess. Mm-hmm. And the whole idea, basically, people figured out in 1796 when John Adams was the president and Thomas Jefferson was the vice president, that was a bad idea when those people didn't like each other or work together. Like, and especially if one of them is sort of a dork but into liberty and the other one's cool but owns a lot of slaves that he also has sex with. That is also a problem in Thomas Jefferson's really overrated, guys. So Mark Cuban, people think that Mark Cuban might do this because he's actually talked to the group about doing this. This is clearly an attempt to torpedo a Democratic candidate. This is something that would trick liberals into voting for. It's kind of like the Colbert Stewart Rally for Sanity, the bipartisan protest comedy that people didn't really like. I don't think it really changed the country.
I'm sorry, Sean. I need to tell you something about Amerilis Kennedy, Fox Kennedy.
Oh yeah, please more.
Do you want to know where she met Robert F. Kennedy III?
At his father's grave, I don't know.
Burning Man.
Oh my God! Jesus, come on!
Sorry, I was closing the Wikipedia page, and that popped out at me.
I was just thinking about how angry Larry David would get at hearing that sentence. So anyway, I don't think I was trying to think of what would be the ticket they're going to end up with. I don't think Mark Cuban's going to run. And my best guess was in
he
either
sold it
order,
because he's been sued like 100 times this year. That's why he's right.
Yeah, so he's cash poor. Like his franchise is worth a lot, but not if you just have to run it. You know what I mean? Yeah. And you're liable for lots and lots of fines. Maybe he's just sick of being fined. I don't know. Now he's going to be fined by state regulators instead. But yeah, my guess for the No Labels ticket is Andrew Yang and Dr. Oz in some order. I don't know if Dr. Oz would be willing to take the second spot. Andrew Yang will do anything.
Mm-hmm.
Is he going to be on television? He's into it.
Okay, that's our
and
ownership.
Dave Chappelle's voting for them.
That's our ownership thing. Let's talk about Greg Popovich, Sean. This story's kind of old now, but we haven't talked about it.
There's some related news too.
Oh,
so
good.
Yeah.
Sean, run us through Greg. What old Greg has done since we last talked about him on the podcast.
So he's semi-retired, but also still coaching the San Antonio Spurs, as far as I can tell. The San Antonio Spurs, who got the first pick in the draft, drafted generational talent Victor Wembanyama, and have, at this recording time, lost 13 games in a row. Mm-hmm. They have the worst point differential in the league. But Greg Popovich's old player, Kawhi Leonard, came to town with the inspiring underdog LA Clippers. And when Kawhi Leonard was shooting free throws, he was booed by, according to the audio, not really that many people.
Yeah, I'm going to play it right now. Here's the audio of what Greg Popovich did. While, take in mind, the LA Clippers are shooting free throws.
And the game is basically going. You know what I mean? It's not like a timeout. Like, Kawhi Leonard's on the free throw line right now.
It is only three.
Excuse me for a second.
Pops on the mic.
Can we stop all the booing and let these guys play?
It's our whole class. It's not who we are. Knock off the booing.
Pop telling the fans to lay off Kawhi Leonard. But that's not San Antonio.
Well, I don't believe I've ever seen that.
I've seen a number of college coaches motion to their crowds, particularly the student crowds, if they're...
Yeah.
Now, the first thing I'll say, Sean, is Kawhi Leonard and Greg Popovich. He probably would have retired to San Antonio Spur if Pop had defended him non-ceremonially, right?
Oh, if he hadn't, if Kawhi hadn't been dealing with like a quad injury that basically has never gone away, and instead had Tony Parker talk about how he played through his own quad injury.
And how Pop was mean to him the whole entire season, right? To the point where he wanted to leave.
Yeah, I would say he was somewhat chased out of town. I mean, it's hard to say with Kawhi, but I'm not saying, I don't think that's a real positive in Popovich's resume.
Yeah. Secondly, Sean.
Obviously, it was Zaza Pachulia's fault. Zaza Pachulia injured his quad.
A lot of people, Sean, a lot of people were saying this is cool and good, what Pop did. What's your take on it?
No, it sucks.
It sucks.
It's
fuck
hall
you.
Hall monitor shit. Like, first of all, don't tell the crowd what to do.
Yeah.
Old man.
Also, like, they're allowed. You're allowed to boo. Like, this is not.
He's on the other team. He's trying to beat you.
But also, if they want to boo Jeremy Sochan, they can boo Jeremy Sochan, too.
Yeah, it's
fine. The one thing that is okay.
The tickets aren't free. You know what I mean? Like, and here's another thing. Kawhi Leonard makes like $40 million a year. He's going to get over it. He doesn't care at all. It's Kawhi. It's like booing a tree. Like, who cares? Oh, Kawhi's feelings are going to get hurt? Like, how would you ever tell or know? He doesn't even live in the same city he plays in. Like, it's Kawhi. Like, oh, stop booing Kawhi. Like, that, I don't really believe in the idea of virtue signaling, but that is virtue signaling. Like, I don't even understand it. Also, all you're going to do is make them boo more, which they did. Plus, this idea is like, that's not who we are here in San Antonio. It's like, oh, what? Where in San Antonio? Where they employed Bruce Bowen for years, just jumping under people's legs and trying to dislocate their knees like all the time? Oh, that's not who we are. We don't boo.
Here's my thing.
This is Greg Popovich, the crankiest man in the world.
here's my thing too. If I knew this, this is so upsetting that this is how I find out. Like, opposing coaches are allowed to grab microphones while the other team is shooting free throws. This is upsetting. I want to see Quinn Snyder grab that microphone and basketball Kawhi. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Like, that's the problem.
That's
going to
be allowed.
This previously unknown factor, and it's just with hall monitor shit. Like, just like the saddest way to use it. Yeah, get on there and, I mean, I would just like to see, yeah, psych ass.
Make a fart noise.
Make a fart noise? Yeah. Or just, honestly, Phil Jackson, if he was allowed to do this, would have devastated people. Mm. And he would have done it like real subtly, like, hey guys, don't boo Rasheed Wallace. He's going through a lot right now. That would be in Sheed's head for the rest of the series. You know what I mean?
You know what Don Nelson would have done if he grabbed a microphone? He would use the microphone to try and recruit the other players to the team.
Yeah, yeah,
he'd
exactly.
Be like, he'd be like, you know, Kawhi, if you were over here, I'd be playing you a point guard and you'd be touching the ball the entire time.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
and then he
green,
would,
green
then
line
he
all
would
the some, time.
And then he would somehow fuck it up. Or he'd get Kawhi, but then hate him a month
yeah,
later.
Yeah, exactly. I could also see him just doing like a long, slow raspberry into the mic.
Anyway.
Like, who cares? Yeah, dorks. But also, I mean, look. A, you can absolutely boo the other team. Me, I can see the argument if it's like, don't boo our team.
Uh-huh.
You know, like that's, I can see how, who was it that was shooting really badly this year and then the fans started like really cheering him? I can't remember what player that was, but like,
well, that happens a lot
glass.
Where like a team will start, like smart teams, smart fans start sarcastically cheering when bad players make shots. I love it. It's one of my favorite things.
And again, it's not free. You know what I mean? Like you're not at work in the stands. There's no, I don't get it. Like, I understand. Maybe don't curse at the players. That feels like a
definitely
fair.
Definitely do not
decorum.
Curse at the players.
Don't curse at the
there
players.
Is
like,
certainly
there's kids
a line,
in the arena,
but
you know?
Booing is on the good side of the line.
Or like if you say something funny that maybe hurts their feelings.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know. So there's a related story that I wanted to talk about, which is Russell Westbrook got into it with a fan who did appear to be a Clippers fan. It was a home game against the Denver Nuggets, and he hurt Russell Westbrook deeply. Russell Westbrook, here's a quote from after the game. Fans think they can say whatever they want. I'm not going to say what was said because now it's not appropriate, but I'm just protecting myself. It's just unfortunate fans think they can get away with saying anything, and personally, I won't allow it. I've taken a lot of people saying anything and getting away with it, but I won't stand for it.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, this was on video. Mm-hmm. You can see what the fan says, and the fan called him Westbrook.
Again?
And
we're doing that again?
We're doing that again because Westbrook, because he didn't like the nickname, invented this idea that saying Westbrook was an insult to his whole family, and it was destroying his son's ability to go to school. He's now expanded it to saying it's disrespecting his father and his grandfather. But normally when NBA players say, don't talk about my family, that means that the fan has said something about, like, their wife.
Or their kid.
It doesn't mean that they made an insulting pun about their last name. That's not talking about your family. It's just not. And it's on video. He just said Westbrook. And in that game, by the way, Russell Westbrook went to the free throw line down 4 points and missed both his free throws. And one of them was an air ball from the free throw line from a guard in the NBA. Like,
well, Sean, you're coming out hot in this
segment. I'm coming out hot this time. It's just like you can't act like a victim when someone says, "Well, you like stop the game." There was security there, but it's like it's not cool to say Westbrook. I mean, it's not the coolest heckle you can have, but you know, it's a pretty soft thing to lose your mind about. It is like people who get mad. I mean, the two online version is he's Eve Fartlow. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Anyway, just like yell something back. You know what I mean? Say what you will about Draymond, but he usually just,
I mean, I don't say a lot
fan.
About Draymond.
We will probably say a lot about him later.
I'm sick of him.
But like, getting a fan ejected is just like, come on, dude.
Wait, I missed that part. They didn't eject the guy for saying Westbrook?
No, they didn't eject him. God. Security came and talked to him. But LeBron has guys ejected all the time.
Yeah, but don't you think those guys are actually saying bad stuff at LeBron? Don't you think LeBron I think LeBron at this point has heard so many things that for him to even notice, you have to say something real bad, you know?
I mean, look, NBA fans can be very terrible. But when it's, like, not in Utah, I'm kind of like, how bad could it have been?
I don't know. I'm a little more... I'm in between you and where a lot of people are on this, like... Because I also understand... Look, Westbrook is ridiculous, but, like... I do understand, like, there's an empathy factor towards players and what they have to deal with that I definitely have. But I also feel like sometimes we've gone a little too far the other way.
Yeah, because sometimes like, there's players
who are thinking pulling a Rick Barry is cool.
Speaking of, we gotta play that, right? Oh yeah, yeah, we do.
Sean, because that's the other thing we forgot to bring up with the Pop thing, is like it telling people not to boo just makes people boo more.
Yeah. Because you're like, shut up, old man. And also it's like clearly he doesn't care about winning anymore, but he's mad because the fans do. Come on, man. That's my new segment. Come on, man. Sponsored by Simply Safe. Come on, man. It can recognize whether it's an animal or a car.
Hey, one second here. Come on, people. You fans are the greatest fans in the world. As everybody said that. Show a little bit of class. This is crazy. Seriously. Come on, you're doing yourself a disservice. All of the wonderful accolades being said to you, for you to treat this man who is spending his money to do the best that he can to turn this franchise around, and I know he's going to do it. So give him the respect he deserves.
All right, Sean, where do you want to go next?
I want to talk about one more thing. I'm still not done, Joey. I'm too hot.
For what?
Look, come on, man, part two.
First off, name it after Rick Barry. It's called Come On People.
Come On People. There you go. That's right. I bet someone already has Come On Man. Yeah. So afterwards, Paul George said something like, well, I understand. Obviously, he's back in his teammates. Paul George, you're fine. But he used a framing, which I've heard before, which is, oh, how would you like it if someone came and yelled at you at work? Mm-hmm. It's like, well, I mean, I wouldn't, but also no one like gives me a standing ovation when I post a blog either. You know what I mean? Like I understand, but you're kind of not at work in the same way as a normal person.
I've worked retail and food service and yeah, it sucks.
Yeah. Like how often have I been allowed to be at work in loose, comfortable shorts? You know what I mean? Like I usually don't get to sit down and I mean, I guess I do sit down and rest a lot of the time, but I don't get to go to work on a private plane. Mm-hmm. I don't get like hundreds of dollars of per diem for my meals. Like,
I don't. There's some trade-offs. Free healthcare.
Yeah. 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 Much less massages before I go to work. And so can we just acknowledge that it's not really a conventional workplace.
No, my job does not involve just throwing a towel on the floor and someone picking it up.
Yeah, yeah, that doesn't happen.
That is the best part about being a basketball player, by the way. I want to make that very clear. The fact that there's just a guy, like, you can just drop a soiled piece of clothing on the ground and a guy runs behind you and picks it up.
Yeah, at any time. And, like, also, like, if you want, you can just drop your disgusting sweaty clothes and be nude as long as you want.
Well, I don't want that, but
I'm just saying it's nice to have the option. I mean, like, what if you don't? You're just like, I'm kind of sweaty. Well, someone will get that.
Mm-hmm. Well, Sean, I hope for your sake that our new segment, Come On People, goes viral.
Yeah. Do you think it will?
If you want me to be honest with you, I still don't know how much the world may think it blew up.
Sparked by the leak of the video, the incident did blow up. It went viral.
Wow.
Uh-oh. Got a chance.
Come
Got
on, people. Sean, Draymond Green is back from his suspension. My first question for you is, how'd that go, his first game back?
I gotta say, it didn't go great. It went it went pretty well for a little while. And then, you know, he had five games off to think about his actions and, you know, think about dealing with adversity in a different way. And then a truly bizarre sequence happened in the third quarter. The Warriors, playing the Sacramento Kings, needing to win by 12 to advance in the
IST.
The IST, the in-season
Which,
tournament.
I cannot believe we're calling it that. That is...
The IST. I mean, because it's Adam Silver's fault. Name it something better.
It's
called the NBA Cup the whole time.
IST sounds like a fake spy agency from a CW show.
Here's something I would like. Could the NBA just officially say whether it should be capitalized or how it needs to be hyphenated? Because as someone who has to type out that goddamn phrase all the time, at least... Anyway.
Independent SWAT team.
Yes.
Yes. Tuesdays at 6 p.m. after Baywatch.
Yes.
All right.
So the Warriors had... they lost a few players to injury. Anyway, they're still up by like double digits. And in a sequence where the Sacramento Kings get a couple of offensive rebounds, Draymond Green decides to pretend he got hit in the face while battling for a rebound.
It's like one of the more blatant flops I've ever seen.
It's a pretty blatant flop. And it happened basically. There was a flop review right before that, right?
Yeah.
So they did a they called the Sacramento Kings for a flop, reviewed it, figured out it wasn't a flop. Draymond looked like he got hit in the face. In replay, he is not hit at all. And so he wasn't going for the rebound. And
he also
Andrew
just
Wiggins
laid on the floor for a long time,
like
pretending his face was bashed in.
Yes, while the Warriors were playing 4-on-5 down at the other end.
In a game they were definitely about to give up their gigantic lead in
they were still up like double digits,
sure, but it felt bad, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, I think it would have been fine without this element.
Agreed.
And so the crowd got really fired up because somehow the Kings kind of bailed out the Warriors and fouled Wiggins, but then that gave the Sacramento Kings fantastic arena staff time to queue up that replay and play it a couple times and really energize the crowd, which was already looking for an excuse to boo Draymond Green more. And then he remained mad about it, even though it was a fake foul, and kept yelling at the refs for the next few minutes. But it was weird because he definitely didn't get fouled. He didn't get touched.
And then there was like and then Malik Monk drove on him and got a rebound where both Steph Curry and Draymond Green were like, that was a very blatant carry of the ball. And
yes,
they were
and
making...
Curry got called for a foul. And Draymond's gesture was like he was signaling a double rainbow.
Yeah.
Almost. Like an exaggerated carrying motion.
Which got him a technical.
And to be fair, he only got the technical when he did it a third time.
Yeah.
They actually let him
do it twice after again, yelling at the refs for a really long time because they didn't fall for his trick.
And they didn't give him a flopping technical.
Yeah,
so he technically really won. And then what did he do?
Then he proceeds to lose his mind. And Malik Monk gets the ball again, and Draymond Green just runs up to Malik Monk and pretends to play really hard defense, but his real goal is to just foul Malik Monk really hard for no reason in basically the backcourt.
Yeah, I think he actually fouls De'Aaron Fox, but
it was De'Aaron Fox, not Malik Monk, but regardless,
yes. it doesn't matter. And at that point, Steve Kerr has to pull him out of the game because
he has become the Incredible Hulk. He's so consumed by his rage, he can't. He's uncontrollable.
And then in that time that he's out, the Kings begin just double teaming Steph Curry. And weirdly, Steve Kerr brings in Corey Joseph for no reason, really, and takes out Moses Moody for no reason. Anyway, we're not going to get into that part of it. But essentially, he had to leave the game to calm down for 3 minutes, at which point the Sacramento Kings went on like a 9-2 run and caught up and went ahead.
Yeah. I would also say tonight in the game, he had a couple of real borderline fouls. Like at one point he just threw Terrence Mann on the ground for no reason. They didn't really call anything, but watching it, I was like, that was uncalled for.
He also talked to reporters after coming back about the Rudy Gobert incident, which he did not regret at all.
Which, Sean, would you repeat the thing you tweeted?
That Draymond was still choking?
No, not that one.
Hold on. Let me find it.
The one about not going to therapy, that one.
Oh, yeah. men will drag... Hold on. Men will drag Rudy Gobert down the court in a chokehold instead of going to therapy. Mm-hmm. And at this point, why don't you go to therapy? This is not like a young guy learning the league.
Well, and this is also not behavior he really did when he was young.
No, he played really physically.
People don't realize this. Like the ball kicking, it was inexcusable, but was rare. Like this behavior is new, post Kevin Durant, that this is habit. Like,
yeah. Cause he's done. He would do violent things, but it was like he knocked a Houston Rocket into the bench when they were trying to set Michael a record Beasley. For threes.
No.
This is a different one. The Rockets were trying to set the record for 3-pointers in a game, and one guy went up, and they were up like 25 points, and Draymond knocked the guy into the bench, and I think he got ejected, but at the same time, the Rockets stopped trying to run up the score. The coach was like, oh, yeah, this is he was on the side of the code many times. The code, Joey.
I don't want to talk about the code.
No, we are talking about the code.
But I just want to know, there was a line he knew how to walk before.
Yeah.
And that line is just not there anymore. It's like a man who got out of a speeding ticket once and thinks it's going to happen every time now. Like, so now he just doesn't know the speed limit. It's like...
Yeah. It's just he doesn't have the ability to, like, calm down anymore.
Yeah. It's like he got the taste of human flesh. And now he craves it.
And he's so defensive about it that he has to double down on the behavior.
Yeah, what did he say afterwards, Sean?
What's the question
he apparently repeatedly asks himself after the incident?
He repeatedly asks himself, am I collecting a lesson from this?
And the answer is no,
based on
his behavior.
No, he also says that he talked, even after his coach said that his behavior with Rudy Gobert was inexcusable. Here's Draymond Green's take on it. The consensus amongst all of us is that I'm going to be me no matter what. That's not going to change. But in saying that, there's always a better way something can be done. So it's figuring out a better way. That's the consensus among all of us. I feel like that might not be the consensus among all three of those people.
Well, did you see what he said tonight?
No, I did not see what he said.
Okay, so the Warriors did this insanely stupid thing that made me mad, frankly. The date tonight, Sean, was 11-30-23. Do you know what that means?
I didn't when I saw it on TV.
The Warriors TV broadcast had a Chiron the entire night with a gold Warriors logo that said 11/30/23, and I was like, is there some holiday I don't know about? But no, it's because Klay Thompson is number 11. Steph Curry is number 30 and Draymond Green is number 23. Now, first thing, and they were calling it Steph, Klay, and Dre Day. Now, the first thing I'll say is this is embarrassing behavior. They're still on the team trying to play. This is a thing you would do after long after they're retired. But
it's like it's May the 4th be with you.
Yes. Also, which the no one actually. The way two of those men have been behaving for the last, I don't know, 9 months, maybe the 30th of every month should be the holiday, is what I'm saying. And tonight, they interviewed all three of them after the game. Bob Fitzgerald, because it's like a... Because Warriors television is like North Korean propaganda. And
except a little more ramped up.
And this is like Kim when they celebrate Kim Jong-un's half birthday or whatever. They asked him a question, and Draymond Green answered... The beautiful thing is that neither of us have ever asked any of the other ones to change in any way.
It's like, is that really friendship?
And it's also like, maybe Steph Curry should ask both of you to change your behavior a little bit here.
Yeah, like...
Because
really?
Both of your behaviors have been detrimental to the team.
Yeah. And I mean, how many times do you think Steph Curry likes going into the press conference and having to say, like, well, they kind of called it technical fast, and then like just trying to ignore the oh boy.
And I'll take Klay Thompson taking an off balance 3-pointer over three guys any night of the week.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that now his post-it says make on eye contact, be nice to reporters. Defend whatever Draymond did. Be nice to Klay.
Oh, anyway, Sean, the in-season Elite Eight is set, and the Golden State Warriors are not in it. Congratulations to the Lakers, the Kings, the Pelicans, the Suns, the Celtics, the Bucks, the Knicks, and the Pacers.
I will say this. Four fun games, Joey.
Mm-hmm. Oh, definitely. But
Lakers, Suns.
Here's my question for you, Sean. Is it weird to you that the Minnesota Timberwolves are in first place in the Western Conference, and the Orlando Magic and 76ers are in second and fourth place in the Eastern Conference? And the Oklahoma City Thunder are in third place in the Western Conference. That none of those teams are in this tournament.
Joey, they're not built for the IST. That's the thing. They've got IST running through their veins. Although, wouldn't Orlando have been made it if Boston didn't run up the score?
I believe that is the case, yes.
Man, did you see when the Celtics were hacking Andre Drummond?
Yeah, it was cool.
Quarter?
It ruled.
I mean, that's a low point for this era of the Chicago Bulls, I gotta say.
But you know what?
Coach has to apologize for beating you too badly after the game.
Also, that is going to be the high point of Joe Mazzulla's entire coaching career. I'm saying it right now. All right. Sean,
did you like that last day?
I loved the last day, actually. I was texting you and I was like, look, I was on your side the entire time not being into the in-season tournament. But all they had to tell me is there was going to be a night where Inside the NBA was doing like red zone style look-ins on games. I would have been in. That's all they had to have Michael Imperioli say to me is one night, one random night on a Thursday. Chuck, Kenny and the guys will be calling games live.
Shaq's gonna be in Miami for no reason, confusing Reggie Miller the entire telecast.
That has me in. Look, and you know what they announced for the in-season tournament, Sean?
What's that?
TNT and ESPN will be merging broadcast crews. So you know what that means. Stephen A. Smith is going to be joining the Inside Guys.
Oh my God! Yes,
for one night only.
I like that they're just going to send Kenny Smith to that sad ass ESPN set, and he's just going to be like, "God, Michael, is Michael Wilbon clinically depressed right now? What's going on?" I'm not even totally sure. Oh, and Bob Myers could chop it up with the Chuckster, the hilarious Bob Myers roasting. He's going to have Bob Myers a fool.
Sean, who you got in the IST?
Man, you know, I love riding with the Indiana Pacers, but I think I thought that, like, teams were not going to take it as seriously as they were, but yeah, I think they're gonna do it. I think they've got, like, I like that there's a bunch of teams that have traded with each other recently too. Like the Knicks have weird beef with teams because it's always like teams they're trying to recruit the players from, but Lakers, Suns, that's good. Celtics, Pacers, I think could be real. And then Bucks Knicks. I wish that game was in Madison Square Garden, but otherwise.
Well,
and then
Kings Pelicans
is like the Buddy Hield Bowl.
Well, but the Pelicans, secret dark horses in this tournament, I think, because CJ McCollum came back tonight, I think.
Yeah, like he can breathe again. Yeah.
Like, and Tony, they said Braxton. Trey Murphy is coming back to this weekend.
Yeah, he is.
Trey Murphy is like their third best player.
He's really good.
Trey Murphy is awesome.
And
fun tournament.
I think it'll be good. It's gonna be like a Lakers Celtics final though, Joey.
I don't think so. I think the Pacers are gonna do it.
I hope so. I love it. I love that idea. Also, Joey, I think it is very predictable who was on each side of the running up the score in the tournament debate. So guess who on the Chicago Bulls got very mad and put off by it?
Zach LaVine.
No, it was DeMar DeRozan.
Oh,
remember when he almost fought Lance Stevenson for making a layup at the end of a game? And guess which member of the Phoenix Suns is really pro blowout?
Devin Booker.
Yeah, he was like, I wish it was like that every time. I wish you just played till the whistle every time. And I'm kind of like, you know what? I think that would be better. Like,
except,
I understand the sportsmanship, but like,
which I like that too. But what I will say is that's a lie though, because Devin Booker's also the guy who was getting mad that people were double teaming him in an NBA player pickup game. Remember?
Yeah. He might think that will go differently than it's really going to go. And also, all that's going to happen is at one point, someone's going to get fouled very, very hard. And, you know, Draymond Green's going to throw him into the bench.
Yeah. And if
mild mannered Draymond Green, if a mild mannered Draymond Green can get affected by that, you know what I'm saying.
Sean, I guess we should have covered this on our Warriors section, but Andrew Wiggins slammed his finger in a car door. Allegedly.
Eyes emoji.
If it were any other NBA player, I'd be like, this seems like really a fake happened. Injury, but Andrew Wiggins, he definitely just slammed his finger in a car door. Or he played too much Call of Duty this weekend.
Yeah, that's true. And he's got gamer's thumb.
Yeah.
Or he's not used to these American cars. Canadian cars, they open backwards.
Yeah.
Bottom to top.
Sean, I think that's our episode.
Yeah,
there's one thing we need to talk about. But let's wait a second for it. Sean, why don't you plug something?
Okay. I'm going to be at Rooster Teeth Feathers next weekend.
Home
I'll be
of
there
the first
Wednesday.
Machine.
Yes, that's true. Wednesday to Sunday. They still have Rooster Juice. They got rid of the red curtain. And I believe you get in free if you're a student on Thursdays and if you're in the military on Sunday. It'll be fun. That's always a fun club to go to. If you happen to be in the Cupertino, Santa Clara, Sunnyvale area, even people in San Jose can make it. You know, if you're a Patreon, send me a DM. I can probably hook you up. I'll also be at the world famous Sacramento Punchline the first weekend of January or whenever after New Year's is with Shang Wang.
Oh, now one of my favorite guys.
And that tickets are going fast, but I believe we're going to have 10 shows. It has been expanded two Wednesday shows, two Thursday shows, two Fridays, two Saturdays, one on Sunday right now. I have a feeling they will add a late show on Sunday. Those shows will be real good. Also hosted by Che Bell, who is real funny, too.
Mm-hmm. As for me, I was on the Film Drunk Frotcast this week. Listen to Unsalvageable. Listen to our Patreon, patreon.com/roundrockpod. Buy our t-shirts in the description in this episode. Call us on the phone, the number in this episode. And you can always follow me on Twitter at Frankie Muniz, where on 6/26/2014, I tweeted, "Had a good run playing b-ball at Court Warner's house last night. The broken rib I suffered is totally worth it. No big breaths for me."
American Underdog 2, that guy.
Okay. We also have an announcement. We've never done this before, but Sean, I've had multiple people ask me via Twitter DM what we were going to do with the Josh Giddey drops, because Josh Giddey has had some very disturbing and gross allegations against him.
Mm-hmm.
And we have, at Roundball, of course, do not support Josh Giddey. But what I would like to say is we've never, in fact, supported Josh Giddey, but we do support the Josh Giddey drops, if that makes sense.
Exactly.
That could be any player reading that, and we would have loved them, but
I mean, it helped that he had an Australian accent.
Yeah, true. I mean, it also helped he was just like a mid-tier weird. It's like,
yeah.
This is Bilal Coulibaly. You know what I mean? It's like the same. It would be the same thing.
That would be tight, actually.
Yeah, or this is Corey Kispert. We would have loved that, too. but
no one's ever heard Corey Kispert talk, by the way. No one.
But because Josh Giddey is allegedly disgusting and allegedly a loser...
He's under investigation from both the NBA and the Newport Beach Police Department.
Normally, we wouldn't be saying allegedly this much, but Stephen A. Smith scared us this week by saying that Josh Giddey was going to sue people who reported on this. So, but yeah, fuck Josh Giddey. I regret to inform our listeners that we are indeed retiring the Josh Giddey drops.
Mm-hmm.
And our last song tonight will be the final time you hear them. So goodbye, Josh Giddey drops. Burn in hell, Josh Giddey person. trust the process.
Trust the process.
And shut it down. Say goodbye to the Josh Giddey drops.
Say goodbye to the triple threat court.
This is Josh Giddey. Squad up with your friends to take on AI opponents to rise up your individual reward ladders, or compete online to get great rewards as a team. This year, take more control than ever before on your journey to assembling your very own dream team of the greatest NBA superstars. This is Josh Giddey. And take control of your journey. Let's hit the triple threat courts to see what's new. Squad up with your friends to take on AI opponents to rise up your individual reward ladders, or compete online to get great rewards as a team. My team is always staying fresh. My team is always staying fresh. This is Josh Giddy. This is Josh Giddy. Let's hit the triple threat courts to see what's new. Let's take a look at what's been into my team this year. This is Josh Giddy. My team is always staying fresh. Squad up with your friends to take on AI opponents to rise up your individual reward ladders, or compete online to get great rewards as a team. Let's hit the triple threat courts to see what's new. This is Josh Giddy. My team is always staying fresh. This is Josh Giddy. My team is always staying fresh. Squad up with your friends to take on AI opponents to rise up your individual reward ladders, or compete online to get great rewards as a team.
Are you kidding me? Where are we at in society today? Come after me! I'm a man! I'm
Josh Giddy. Squad up with your friends to take on AI opponents to rise up your individual reward ladders, or compete online to get great rewards as a team. Let's hit the triple threat courts to see what's new. This is Josh Giddy. This is Josh Giddy. This is Josh Giddy.
What's up, Lakers fans? Coach Frank Vogel here.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.